Please note that as of this week, we will include most references to website URLs only in the print edition of this newscast. It's been pointed out to us that when read, they fly by so fast as to make copying them difficult. What we would like to know from you is if deleting most URLs from the audio version of the newscast makes listening more enjoyable for you, or if you would like us to put them back in. Please listen for a few weeks before making up your mind and let us know. Our email is newsline@arnewsline.org, or you can message us on our page on Facebook. We look forward to hearing from you. Now on to this week's newscast. Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1903 with a release date of January 31st, 2014 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Two hams in Europe monitor the Rosetta spacecraft from 500 million miles away. Blizzard conditions force the cancellation of an Eris contact. Some new propagation forecast for the current solar cycle. Cuba gives hams access to 5 megahertz, but with strings attached. Ham radio and social networking team up to find a sailor out of touch with his family, and a permanent makeover for the FCC's home website page. All this and more on Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1903 coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
And out of this world, DX receiving milestone for two ham radio operators in Europe. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
Two hams have successfully heard signals from the European Space Agency's Rosetta Comet-Seeking Probe. The first was James Miller, G3RUH. He reports reception of Rosetta as it was at a distance of some 500 million miles from Earth. Miller accomplished this feat using the 20-meter dish at the United Kingdom's Bochum Amateur Radio Facility. His receiving of the Rosetta signal took place on Tuesday, January 21st, at 9:34 UTC. Also successful in hearing Rosetta was Bertrand Pinel, F5PL, located near Castel Nuderi, France. He tracked Rosetta also on January 21st at 10 o'clock UTC. In his case, F5PL accomplished this amazing space-listening DX using only a 3.5-meter dish. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD, in Berwick, Pennsylvania.
As reported last week, Rosetta's mission will be to first fly a series of observational maneuvers of Comet 67P before dropping a probe onto its icy surface in November. That lander will dig up samples and analyze them with its onboard instruments and radio the results back to researchers here on Earth. The severe weather outbreak across the United States had a negative effect on ham radio in space-related functions. An Eris contact with the Indiana Area School District in Indiana, Pennsylvania on Tuesday, January 24th, had to be postponed due to weather conditions at the school. A new contact time and date has yet to be determined. The strange cat and mouse propagation of the current solar cycle continues, and now there's some important new information available for those on a DX quest. Amateur Radio Newsline's Norm Seeley, KI7UP.
Steve Nichols, D0KYA, who is the chairman, RSGB Propagation Studies Committee, has updated his high-frequency propagation prediction charts for the first quarter of 2014. This to take into account the latest predicted smooth sunspot numbers. It is generally thought that we may now be at or past the second hump of this sunspot maximum. But according to Nichols, the sun continues to throw some surprises. For example, the observed sunspot numbers for the last 6 months of 2013 were 57.0, 66.0, 39.9, 85.6, 77.6, and 90.3, which shows the great variation. The current predicted smooth sunspot number is about 61 to 62 for the next 3 months. That equates to a 10.7 centimeter solar flux index of about 110. A flux over 100 suggests that 10 meters will continue to open on a fairly regular basis and over the next few months should throw up some good opportunities for DX on the higher bands. However, the long-term trend may be downwards. G0KYA notes that on the downward side of the cycle, we may also experience more unsettled geomagnetic conditions due to flares and coronal mass ejections. These may cause short-term D-layer absorption, especially on routes over the poles, or depletion of the F-layer with corresponding poor conditions on the upper high-frequency bands. Looking on the bright side, it may also give rise to some good aurora propagation. For Amateur Radio Newsline, Norm Seeley, KI7UP in Scottsdale, Arizona.
If you want to produce your own detailed point-to-point propagation calculations, G0YKA recommends you try voacap.com/prediction.html. The Ministry of Communications of Cuba has given hams in that island nation what amounts to strictly controlled access to the 5 megahertz or 60 meter band. The rules change approved January 20th gives Cuban novice class operators a power limit of 50 watts, while the high class license holders can run up to 100 watts with maximum power out in emergency conditions as needed for a reliable link establishment. That seems to mean once any Cuban official declares any sort of a crisis situation exists, that all other operations must cease immediately and the spectrum will be restricted for emergency communications only. But access to the new allocation by Cuban hams will not be immediate. According to Pavel Costa, CO7WT, as reported in the Southgate News, getting on the new allocation will require a request to the related authority and the agency's approval before hams in Cuba will be able to fire up in the new spectrum. As to whether this will be a spot frequency or a continuous allocation was not mentioned in the CO7WT report. Portuguese telecommunications regulator ANACOM has granted that nation's ham radio community the temporary use of the 1850 to 2000 kilohertz band. According to the announcement as posted on Portugal's National Amateur Radio Society website, this will permit Portuguese radio amateurs the ability to participate in more radio sports competitions during 2014. And DX up front, word that DS4NMJ is part of the scientific team that was expected to leave on January 25th for the new Korean research station currently under construction at Terra Nova Bay in Antarctica. The new base is near the Italian Zucchelli station and is scheduled to open February 12th. Look for operation by DS4NMJ using the call D8A to begin on-the-air operation sometime in mid-February. He plans to use 160 through 10 meters mostly on CW with some SSB and RTTY, and he says that he'll be in Antarctica until the end of January 2015. QSL via HL2FDW. Also word from Bill Moore, NC1L, at the ARRL Awards Desk that the current TE6U operation from Afghanistan has been approved for DXCC credit. That operation will continue through May 3rd of this year. Also from NC1L, word that the 7Z1ES operation from Saudi Arabia has also been approved for DXCC. NC1L says that if you had this rejected in a recent application, send a note to him to bmoore@arrl.org to be placed on the list for an update to your account. And we'll have more DX news later on in this week's report. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Do Drop In conference server, heard on Echolink. A woman in Tennessee recently took to the ham radio pages on Facebook to seek assistance in locating her father, who was sailing single-handed around the world. Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, is in the newsroom with the latest.
We won't hold you in suspense. This is a story with a very happy ending. It also shows how ham radio and social media can combine forces to provide assistance to someone who is thought to be possibly in harm's way. The story begins on Tuesday, January 21st. That's when Rachel Carmichael of Mount Juliet, Tennessee, took to the Facebook Ham Radio Operators Forum with a request for assistance in locating her father, Bill Carmichael, KK4UOR. Bill Carmichael was reported to be at sea and headed towards Belize on his sailboat, the Kairos. She added that the family was very concerned about him. Within minutes of her posting, numerous hams replied to her, suggesting a number of ways to help find KK4UOR. Among them were to notify the Coast Guard, to post information on yachttrack.org, and to enlist the help of the 20-meter Maritime Mobile Services Net on 14.300 megahertz. While we do not have the details, it appears that the latter seemed to be the magic charm. With only a few hours, word was passed back to Rachel Carmichael via Facebook from various ham radio operators monitoring the situation that KK4UOR had been heard in contact with the Maritime Mobile Services Net. Most important, all was okay aboard the Kairos. As it turned out, there was no emergency, but simply poor radio conditions from where KK4UOR was, and some unconfirmed satellite telephone interruption. A bit later, it was posted on Facebook that Bill Carmichael was back in contact with his family via satellite telephone. Later on, Rachel Carmichael posted a thank you to all of the hams who had helped out. From the newsroom in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6 ITF.
Perhaps Michael Walker, VA3MW, summed it up best when he posted a comment that said, "Nicely done, all. As usual, ham radio comes through as a very reliable technology that doesn't require help from something high-tech other than the sun. It does work when all else fails." The old FCC website entry port will soon be completely gone to be replaced by a new front page at FCC.gov. Amateur Radio Newsline, Stephen Kinford, NAWB.
For almost 3 years, the Federal Communication Commission has maintained a hybrid of both its old and new domains on its webpage. Beginning Monday, February 3rd, the transition front page will redirect automatically to the new FCC.gov homepage. As we go to air, the old front page can still be reached by a click to a link on the new front page, but that will likely have disappeared by the time many of you hear this. But the good news is that the structure of the new front page is such that all your personal bookmarks to items once featured on the old page should continue to work. That should make the transition easier for everyone. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB reporting.
The FCC says that only the front page is affected and the Commission still has many of the former Bureau pages still in use. The General Assembly of the Digital Radio Mundial, or DRM, Consortium is scheduled to meet March 26th and 27th at the British Broadcasting Corporation headquarters in central London. Themed DRM in Action, the consortium will invite attendees to consider the benefits of the digital radio standard and its progress towards standardization. The first day of the event will be open to all Digital Radio Mundial members and invited guests from the UK and abroad. The morning will be devoted to informative presentations on the benefits of digital radio. In the afternoon, consortium members who are attending will be able to experience DRM while networking in the BBC's Radio Theatre. Turning to the ham radio social scene, how would you like to be on the W5KUB.com webcast from the 2014 Dayton Hamvention, even if you can't be there in person? Tom Medlin, W5KUB, says that he and his production team have already started the planning for this year's Hamvention webcast and would like to have you as a part of it. According to Tom, his group is looking for short video greetings that can be played during his time at Hamvention. The video should be no more than 8 to 15 seconds long and should sound something like this.
G'day from VK6RO in the city of Perth, about 12,000 miles southwest of New York City. I enjoy following Tom in his travels and live broadcasts on W5KUB.com.
There are loads of variations possible, and you can make yours look and sound as you might like. Once completed, just email your video clip to Tom to videos@W5KUB.com. Who knows, you might find your scene worldwide this Hamvention weekend over W5KUB.com. Youngsters on the Air 2014 Ham Radio Camp will take place July 15th to the 22nd in Finland. This with 15 teams attending from different IARU Region 1 European member associations. During the week, teams will be participating in radio-related activities, including radio-based competitions, visiting stations, taking part in workshops, and the like. As the three previous events in Romania, Belgium, Netherlands, and Estonia have shown, for young radio amateurs, youth and amateur radio will be a great experience they will never forget. The South African Radio League will celebrate its Youth Week February 10th to the 15th with a whole series of events that involve young hams in that nation. David Conradi, ZR6DHC, reports.
Besides encouraging young radio amateurs to get on the air and make contact during the week, the SARL also hosts a Youth Week debate during which amateurs under 20 years of age get the opportunity to show off their debating skills. The topic of discussion is, what does amateur radio offer young people? There will also be a youth sprint to celebrate the youth and to promote contacts between young radio amateurs in southern African countries. Young amateurs are encouraged to call CQ Youth Day on Saturday, 15 February 2014, between 10 and 12 o'clock South African Standard Time, and that is 8 and 10 hours UTC, and the exchange is a RS report and the operator's age. The activity will be on 40 meters phone between 7063 and 7100 kHz, as well as 7130 to 7200 kHz. As part of the Amateur Radio Week, the SARL is also hosting an essay competition with the title Amateur Radio, Your Gateway to a Career in Engineering and Science. Young people under the age of 20 are invited to explore how amateur radio has shaped the development of radio science and how today amateur radio can be a gateway into an engineering, electronic and science career. research the subject on the internet, talk to radio amateurs and people in the industry who came into the field through their amateur radio activity. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm David Conradi, Zulu Romeo 6 Delta Hotel Charlie in sunny South Africa.
For more information on the South African Radio League's Youth Week activity, please visit www.hamradio.org.za on the World Wide Web. The 40th annual Eastern VHF, UHF, and Microwave Conference will be held April 11th to the 13th. The event is sponsored by the Northeast Week Signal Group and will again be held at the Baymont Inn and Suites in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, take your web browser to www.newswhf.com. Some names in the news. First up, our good friend Lloyd Colston, KC5FM of Altus, Oklahoma. Lloyd, who holds the Mars Call NNN0LAC, has been selected as the new public affairs officer for the Navy and Marine Corps Military Auxiliary Radio System. Colston, an experienced journalist, also serves the city of Altus as their emergency management director. He received his bachelor's degree in journalism and speech from Northeastern Oklahoma State University and has print and broadcast media experience. In addition to this post, Colston also serves as the Oklahoma Section Public Information Officer with the ARRL and holds membership with a number of amateur radio groups, including the Quarter Century Wireless Association. On a lighter note, the Murray Ledger and Times reports that Farmington, Kentucky ham radio operator John Piper, WB4ZZT, says that he's planning to shave off his foot-long beard to raise money for the Special Olympics. The newspaper says that Piper hopes to raise $1,500 or more through a fundraising campaign on Facebook that would result in a public shaving on February 15th. That's the day of the 5th annual Polar Plunge in Marshall County. The Special Olympics is to be the beneficiary of the event, in which participants jump into the frigid waters of this Kentucky lake. As an aside, Piper reportedly patterned the beard after those worn by members of his favorite musical act, the rock group ZZ Top. And best wishes for a speedy recovery to our longtime friend Dave Booth, KC6WFS. Dave is one of the moderators of Newsline's page on Facebook. Dave underwent back surgery Wednesday, January 29th, and according to latest reports from his family, he's now in recovery but may not be available online for a while. Get well wishes can be sent to Dave by email to newsline@arnewsline.org or posted on the Amateur Radio Newsline Facebook page. This is Ham Radio News for today's Radio Amateur. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following Radio Amateur. If you've ever wanted proof that you never get anything for nothing, here's the evidence. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Davis, W2JKD, tells us about an app that secretly told marketers where you were.
The maker of the popular Android mobile app that turns a smartphone into a flashlight has agreed to settle the Federal Trade Commission's charges that the software secretly supplied cell phone locations to marketers. This even when consumers rejected its terms of service. According to the FTC, the Brightest Flashlight free app made note of the phone's precise location and its unique code that identifies every such device. The company would automatically pass that information along to third parties, including advertising networks, even though its privacy policy stated initially that information would not be shared outside the company. The FTC says it didn't seek financial restitution because the app was free. A key part of the settlement is the requirement that if the developer wants to collect and share geolocation data, it must send a prominent disclosure notice when the app launches. The company's also agreed to get a customer consent before collecting or sharing the information. I'm Jim Davis, W2JKD.
This particular case came to light because of the diligence of tech-savvy customers who questioned why a flashlight app would be interested in a phone's geolocation. The Federal Trade Commission said consumer concerns posted online helped to tip off the agency. The Brazilian Amateur Radio League says that it will be celebrating its 80th anniversary throughout the month of February by conducting a special on-the-air operation. During this period, Brazilian Amateur Radio League stations operating in various states will use special ZZ80 prefix call signs. The operation will be on all of the high-frequency bands plus 2 meters using various modes. All QSOs will be confirmed by commemorative QSL card from the Brazilian Amateur Radio League. UK telecommunications regulator Ofcom has announced that it will allow radio amateurs based in Scotland to apply for a special regional secondary locator. This to help them take part in the Homecoming Scotland event. Based on a notice of variation, Ofcom will allow the inclusion of A for ALBA in their call signs instead of the letter M. Amateur radio licensees whose main station address is in Scotland may apply for permission by visiting www.rsgb.org/homescotland. The notice of variation is valid from January 25th to November 30th this year. A notice of variation from the United Kingdom is similar to an FCC-granted special temporary authority, or STA, here in the United States. UNSA Sat-1 hopes to be the first CubeSat to make use of the 3,400 MHz amateur satellite service allocation. The aims of this CubeSat include a study of the upper atmosphere, radio communication experimentation, technology demonstrations, education, and outreach. The design team is currently proposing that the tiny bird carry a 435 MHz transceiver using BPSK modulation and additional transmitters at 2.4 GHz and 5.8 GHz. They also hope to have a BPSK downlink on 3.4 GHz that will only operate in Region 2 when the spacecraft is over the ground station in Peru. The ITU amateur satellite allocation from 3400 to 3410 MHz is available in ITU Regions 2 and 3, but not currently across all of Region 1. NASA has announced the successful launch of its latest tracking and data relay satellite called TDRS-L. This is the latest in a satellite network located some 22,000 miles above the equator and allows continuous two-way contact with the space station and its crew and other spacecraft like the Hubble Space Telescope. While NASA is the primary user of the multi-satellite TDRS system, it occasionally assists other nations' space agencies and the U.S. military. And back in 2002, a TDRS satellite allowed doctors in Massachusetts to oversee a knee surgery performed at the South Pole. Visiting space has taken another leap toward becoming reality as we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Hal Rogers, K8CMD.
Space tourism company Virgin Galactic sent its Spaceship Two reusable space vehicle to new heights on Friday, January 10th. This by rocketing the craft nearly 13.5 miles in altitude and reaching a speed of Mach 1.4. The craft left Mojave Air and Spaceport at approximately 7:22 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, strapped to the White Knight II carrier aircraft, which took the space plane to around 46,000 feet. White Knight II then dropped Spaceship Two, which used its own rocket motor to roar to 71,000 feet, and setting a new record for the craft. This flight was the third supersonic rocket-powered test of the Virgin Galactic system. After dozens of subsonic flights, to date the company has accepted more than $80 million in deposits from approximately 680 people who want to be among the first of those seeking rides on the tourist vehicle to the edge of space. I'm Hal Rogers, K8CMD.
Virgin Galactic is a company within Sir Richard Branson's Virgin Group, which plans to provide suborbital space flights for space tourists, suborbital launches for space science missions, and orbital launches of small satellites. On the air, keep an ear open during the entire month of March for Russian special event station UE-80HS. This operation is being held to celebrate the 80th anniversary of Russia's first astronaut, Yuri Gagarin, who was born on March 9, 1934. Gagarin was the first human to journey into space when his Vostok spacecraft completed an orbit of the Earth April 12, 1961. If you work UE-80HS, please QSL via RW6HS. Also, listen out for German special event station DK40BOSCH that will be operational until December 31st. This activity celebrates 40 years of ham radio operations within the Bosch Group. QSL direct via the Bureau or electronically using Logbook of the World. And from February 8th through March 7th, PA0FAW will be using the special call sign PA400SM to help celebrate the 400 years of friendship between the Netherlands and Sweden. Most of this operation will be on CW with some SSB and digital modes when a suitable location is available. QSL's and SWL reports go to PA0FAW at his information on QRZ.com. NDX JF1CCH will be active as 8Q7TS from Hulumal Island in the Maldives from March 20th to the 31st. Operations will be on 40 through 10 meters using CW, SSB, and RTTY. There's also a chance he may show up on 160 and 80 meters as well, QSL via his home call sign. K1ZE, W1EQ, and W1UJ will be on the airstroke KP2 from the rental Mountain Breeze Villa on St. Croix between February 10th to the 17th. Activity will be on all HF bands using CW, SSB, and RTTY, QSL via their home call signs. WA2NHA will be active March 2nd to the 17th, stroke P4 from Aruba. His operating will be on 80 through 10 meters, mainly using CW, QSL via his home call sign. WS-5K will be operational as PJ-4F from the island of Bonaire between February 7th and March 9th. Activity will probably be on the HF bands, but no information was provided. If you work him, QSL via direct to WS-5K or electronically using Logbook of the World. W5JON, who also holds the call V47JA, will be on the air between February 19th and March 25th. From his vacation home in Calypso Bay on St. Kitts, his operation will be on 160 through 6 meters using SSB. He'll also be active during the ARRL International DX SSB contest that takes place March 1st and 2nd as a single operator all-band entry. Also, his wife, W5HAM, will occasionally operate as V47HAM. All QSLs go to W5JON direct or via Logbook of the World. No Bureau QSLs for this one. And finally this week, word that one of the Newsline family, anchor Jim Dameron, N8TMW, will be appearing in an upcoming episode of the TV series Nashville. In the show, Jim plays the part of a minister presiding over the funeral of one of the show's characters. His scene was shot mid-January in the city of Nashville. He tells us it was a great experience.
Oh, it was a fun experience. The cast and crew were wonderful. This show is a top-notch production. I got to work with most of the show's regulars, really, really nice people.
Jim Dameron is by profession an actor and voiceover artist who operates his own audio production business in Charleston, West Virginia. He also does legal videography for depositions for attorneys. His movie credits include Forrest Gump, and he recently finished a supporting role in the independent film The Tribunal. N8TMW has also appeared in and voiced numerous commercials, industrial and training videos, and has done numerous plays on stage. Nashville airs Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern on the ABC Television Network. As to when his episode will air, Jim says it should be soon. He tells us that his is episode 215. Jim also suggests that the best way to be certain is to do a Google search for Nashville TV show episodes list to keep up with the latest broadcast schedule. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, the Southgate News, TWIT TV, and Australia's WIA News, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website. You'll find that at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. Before we go, we want to take a moment to welcome John Serbus, W8CER, as a 3,000th subscriber to the Amateur Radio Newsline page on Facebook. John joined us Monday, January 21st. If you're a ham radio operator on Facebook and wish to join our ever-growing cyberspace ham radio family, just put Amateur Radio Newsline into the Facebook search bar, and that should take you right to our page. We'll see you there. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF at the editor's desk, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in South Mississippi, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2014. All rights are reserved.